And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live this morning. It is June 15th, 2019, and we welcome you folks out there. And let's see if I can get everybody hooked up. Hello, man, are you there?
Good morning, this is Tim.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, this is Richard.
Good morning. Tim, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer?
Alrighty. Our dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, we lift up this land, this country, and Lord, specifically your people, the saints. Lord, we just pray that you'd watch over your people this day, that you would build a hedge around us, Lord, and a shield, and that you would continue to protect and prosper your people. God, we just ask that the prayers of the saints be amplified today, Lord, that no enemy might put their hand upon us, that they might take a spoil. Lord, we pray that you would make your ways, laws, and precepts clear, and Lord, continue to make them relevant in the hearts of your people, that the lands might see that there still is a new Jerusalem set upon a hill with the light burning bright for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that you would forgive our nation its trespasses. And we ask, Lord, that you would put words in our mouth that would be relevant and that they would renew and refresh the saints, Lord, that they're in those things. God, we ask that you would thank you for it. We pray that you would damage us, prosper. Hands give us wisdom and knowledge, and help us to use them in a way that would honor and glorify you. We just thank you for it this day. In Christ's holy and precious name we ask. Amen.
Well, Remnant, we got a little different this modify the way we do the broadcast this morning, and Todd, our bad guest guy in Pennsylvania, so, but starting up a little later this morning, but we're still here, and gathered around the Radio Ranch microphone, just through the wonders of technology. And the coffee is, well, the power went out a good hour and a half ago, so the coffee is, oh, it's still a little warm, not really piping hot, but that's okay, and that's how it goes. And thank God for the technology that we have, that we're able to still be here with you this morning, and we thank you for joining us. Quite a bit going on out in the world, and Tim and I were talking before just a little bit about I had mentioned that one thing I'd seen in the news is that I think that there's now 8 states here in the United States that have on the books laws for, oh, they call it assisted suicide, or they get real noble and call it death by dignity. It sounds noble. Oh, death by dignity. But it's basically assisted suicide laws. Canada's had them. We've seen them, and I did not know that it was to that extent here in the States. But now 8 states have signed on and have something like that on the books. Colorado's one of them, and Tim, you brought up a good point before the broadcast that, you know, it's these people that are playing God. They want the power of God. They think they're God. They do the things, matters of life and death, that's, you know, put them in that position. And it just not, you know, as a Bible-believing Christian people, it ought not to be that way. We understand that death is part of life. We read it throughout the scriptures. We know that it is only part of, that death is part of the life we have here. How many times does Jesus tell us about it? You know, that the seed has to, you know, to bear fruit, it has to die. It has to be buried. And then it brings up new life. That's how this whole planet, our whole existence is set up. And
yes,
if we're going to believe the words of Jesus, we know that there is more than just this physical existence here in this life. But to those that deny God, I guess this is just the natural progression of what they do.
Well, and we've seen that the desires of their heart are to reduce population and to separate man from God, to separate God's people from Him. That's their, and you know, it's always interesting to me. It comes back to timing. I mean, it's always a timing issue. God has, He knows the hearts of men. He knows the time and the place, and He says, and I know the day you're going to die, and no one else knows that. He said He numbered the hair on our head, and it's pretty obvious that they want to know the day that you're going to die, that they want to do that, and it's not, there's some things that just aren't for us to know, and I think I've fielded multiple questions here just lately. It's kind of interesting to me about suicide. I've had several people actually talk to me about it just over the last probably month, which is, could be as this consensus comes up in news, like what you're talking about with the 8 states and everything, you know, about that. And I don't think that it honors God to, there's definitely an exit door there that says suicide on it, it's not, it shortens and denies the power of God. I think there's a,
there's a denial of God's power in our lives and in the world situation when people choose to use, to force that door and to use that door, that exit door. That's not the right way out, and it doesn't honor God when they do that. And, that's the second tier to that whole suicide thing is they thumb their nose at God at every available opportunity, you know, and that's right. Just another way that they cause God's people to sin and throw God under the bus. And I think we see a lot of that going on across this nation when we look and see the people that have been, without the wisdom of God's way. I just was reading a sermonette article where they were talking about, the Bible make you squeamish, skeptical, and uncertain. And, then there was another one there that said, don't try to tame God. And I was like, wow. And, you know, C.S. Lewis had it right, with the stories. If Aslan is a type of God in those books, that he wrote, God's not a tame God. We don't, you know, you, according to the desires or the wisdom of our mind, and he has his way of doing things, and you'll figure it out. And he's not going to change for us. He changes not. So, it's not about him understanding us. It's about us understanding him. And I think that just shortens all of those sort of things and eliminates it. And, I can't help but think that, you know, God has principles for forgiveness. Not everybody's worthy of forgiveness. Not everybody's worthy of those sorts of elements. There's things that we do that it says God loves justice more than a sacrifice. And, right. Sometimes it's not about forgiveness, it's about justice. You wanna sacrifice to God, forget your forgiveness in your heart that you think you need to give and get some justice going on, you know? So, I think right. there's, but anyways, that's kind of, where I get to on some of that. I did see that we have another deal going on out in California that they were talking about, and this kind of ties in California. I see California as a road sign on God's road now, because there's literally every antichrist thing that can be imagined or done seems like it's done out there. It just absolutely leaves me, shaking my head. You know, I'm just like, wow, what a Sodom and Gomorrah land. And, you know, right now they've got, over 700 quakes listed out there, kind of over there around Fontana, California. They've got 700 earthquakes and the La Brea tar pits. They've got tar coming up through the streets in different spots.
Oh,
and
wow.
This has never happened before. And, wow. You know, it's like, so I think it's symbolic.
I imagine that.
Yeah. I mean, you can't sin and get by. And, their scientists are concerned. Well, they should be. I'll tell you what, Christians should be concerned. And,
That's right.
So should the sinners. You know,
when you see things like that happening, yeah, it's God's trying to get your attention. And, we see a lot of that stuff going on all over the country right now and all over the world. And, it can be exciting times. It can be frustrating times, but, you know, I mean, you put your trust in the Lord and you do what you can do. We're seeing rumors of wars, rumors of wars. We're, seeing what just attacked on so many different fronts right now. It's exciting times, but, you know, it's one of those things that, you can smile at the future. This is a good time of year. We got off to a kind of a rough start basically all across the country as far as gardening, planting. One of the things that, coming back from, from Branson, Missouri, it was a blessing to be able to drive out there this year, because we was able to go across Kansas and Missouri going down to Branson. We went basically across the I-70 going out and came across I-80 coming back. And, you know, talk about so much destruction due to water and to flooding. You know, we see a lot of it on the news, but, you know, when you get out there and you drive for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of miles and you see it everywhere you go, when you're basically going completely across the breadbasket of the United States, it's something to see. And, wow. Was able to see that going across. I mean, you know, there was, you know, they used to have a saying knee high by 4th of July as far as what the corn was and, corn, yep, planting. And you go across 70 and I mean, there's no, they weren't planting corn. They couldn't even get anything in the fields to do any planting. And that was, you know, basically going across the interstate. I know that there is places that people were able to get their millet, corn, soybeans, and wheat and stuff in. But it was the farmers that I did talk to said that they were, you know, they were able to plant maybe 30% of what they should have had planted. And, you know, it was going across up 71. Going and Interstate 29 through Missouri and into Iowa, you know, the interstate was still completely shut down. You know, for over 100 miles, where bridges were washed out, and it was you know, to go in and see cornfields that were once you know, some of the best farm ground in the United States. There in Iowa on the Minnesota border, just hundreds and hundreds of acres of fields that were just gone. I mean, just gone. I mean, you can't imagine seeing a complete cornfield gone, but it's nothing but a ravine. It's nothing but a valley. It's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of feet of soil, thousands of yards of soil just gone. It was really interesting to see.
Wow. Well, and I just read something yesterday, Jason, that talked about the fact that there's all this money going to out of the United States to help these foreign countries, and all this foreign aid going out, and we have all these issues at home, you know.
Yep.
It's heartbreaking to see people struggling with this sort of thing, and the repercussions of that are, you know, it just goes back to, you sure don't want God warring against you, because he's got weapons that target things in ways that you know, we can't imagine. I mean, it's calling for a repentance, a national repentance. And I think it's on the way. I mean, I see more signs of it all the time. I see people and I see the remnant, standing up and saying, hey Lord, not us. We're sorry. We want to make it right. And, that's what it takes. That's what it takes.
That's right.
So.
That's right. And you know, all through the, the Old Testament stories, that was the remnant. You know, the promises of God, Israel, to be as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea, and that has happened. And it happened in the Old Testament times, that the people were all but innumerable. But then the Babylonians came in and took them away, killed a lot of them, and the same with the Assyrian captivity. I mean, that's the, you know, one of the Bible stories that's not preached on a whole lot, but we see that the remnant made it through. The remnant, those that listened to people like Nehemiah and Jeremiah, those that that did repent, those that stood and listened to the law being read for a fourth of the day, and then being read for another fourth of the day, and those that, when they heard of the law, because they had been away from it for generations, that they, what did they do? They rent their clothing, and they agreed and said, yes, we will do this. They knew they made it through. The scripture says, hey, in captivity, plant houses, plant gardens, raise your children, you know, give them and give and take in marriage and thrive. And there are some that have done that. It's that same some, those same remnant that, like you said, Tim, that have repented, that have said, God, we're, you know, these things are coming upon us. We're being invaded from the south. We're being invaded from the east. We're being invaded from the north. Because we've sinned, because we've turned away. You know, when Gideon had the conversation with the angel of the Lord, you know, Gideon acknowledged that it was God that had done this because of our sin. And that was his strength. That was his strength to stand up against those in, what was it, in Midian, and against the Midianites that had come against him. And that was his strength that allowed him to go, even if he did it at night, at being the poorest of the land and the poorest of his family, had 10 servants that he could take with him to go tear down his father's Baal. And it was that strength of acknowledging that it was God Almighty that was doing it. You know, Jason, you mentioned the floods out there. I talked with a family on the ministry that's out in Iowa, and they have said the same thing. This was just about 2 weeks ago. They're on flood watch. The fields aren't planted. And they reiterated, they one, asked for prayer, not just to them, but for them and their neighbors and the farmers and the ranchers that have been impacted by the flood that feed this nation, but also for this nation that they would repent because, as they put it, the majority of people out there have no idea. They do not understand how far-reaching these floods and this devastation is. It's destroying so much of the feed for animals this year, the feed for people, the storage facilities, as well as made many of the fields unplantable. And so that's going to step into the next several years. It may be a type of famine that we're looking at, that we're facing and seeing.
Well, and the swine flu, too, is one of the things that's going through Asia that, you know, you're not hearing a whole lot about it, but basically the commodities brokers are telling you that this is going to be the biggest hit on the protein market in the world, as far as a world economy goes. They said, yeah, it's one thing when we lose over 1 million cows in the state of Nebraska, but it's another thing when we lose billions of pigs all across Asia. It's taken the biggest hit on the protein market that there has ever been.
Wow. Well, and I think the other thing is just the amount of road signs that we see of people standing up or out there. Did you see, Jason, that Jack Phillips down there at Masterpiece had been sued for discrimination for a third time?
Yes, I did. Yep. I don't get the details on that. You know, did you?
I got a few. Basically, an LGBT, however you say it, Q, however many letters they throw together there.
Right.
They came in and wanted a he or she or it, whatever, wanted a cake made to celebrate a birthday cake to celebrate their transition. And he said, no, you know, we're not making that. And, it's significant to me that, we have a lightning rod effect going on there, that they would come in there and do that. You think they really came in there to celebrate that? No, they came in there because they're mad because they've lost twice and they won another one. So,
right.
You know, we pray for Jack and I appreciate his stand. It's just another one of those cases where, we see that going on. You know, people are standing up and saying, no, God says no, and no means no. And, I'm not going to do that. I mean, we're not interested in it. Take your quote unquote business somewhere else. And they're not interested in the cake or anything else. They're just out there trying to prove their point and make their point. And we see that. We see these. That's the other thing about these filthy, rotten sinners that goes on that we see is they won't be shamed and they won't be turned away. And they want to flaunt their filth in the face of God's people constantly. They don't just want their recompense and their sin known. They want to convert and subvert everyone else's life. And I was also laughing in Nevada. Nevada passed a bill that basically allows for a transfer tax on guns. They're Democratic. Our Democratic group passed that, and it was a straight party line vote. And of course, Governor Sisolak, he signed it right into thing. But what interested me was is that one by one, every county sheriff in the state—that's 17 counties in Nevada—they all stood up and said, "We will not comply. We're not doing it. We're not enforcing it. Nothing." And you know, that's just like, wow. Thank you, God. I mean, because that's what that is. That's God just putting it in the hearts of those men. Don't know anything about those men, but I do know
they don't want to enforce it because they don't want to get shot. I mean, is what it boils down to. It's
right.
You know, you think about it, it's like, okay, these guys sitting up there in their offices in their suit and ties and their luxury, and they're like, okay, here, I want you to go regulate their guns and tell them that, oh, you can't have this, and I'm going to tax it on top of that. Well, you know, it seems like there was a war that got started over something similar to that.
Exactly. Well, this is true. And, you know, I know we come back to the gun rights issue a lot of times, but it is a pivotal issue in God's power play. And we're warned about giving up weapons in the Bible repeatedly. I mean, nothing good ever came out of it. I mean, I was laughing at New Zealand. New Zealand passed a bill basically after that Christchurch incident that said the whole country, and of course, New Zealand's really small. I mean, it doesn't have as many people in it, I don't think, as Chicago does, you know. But it has it has several million guns in that country. And, they were ready to do their buyback and take everybody's guns. And to date, the last I heard, they had 530 turned in. So people were just like, no, we're not, don't think so. You know, and even the law enforcement over there is like, we don't really know what to do about this. So, praise the Lord that, you know, God's people are still out there, and there are basic things that have been ingrained in their heart and God's saving his people. So, I just think that, I think it goes on all the time. We're seeing it, and, you know. It's going on.
Amen. Amen. Sorry about that little boy, Landon. I think it's this little boy that was thrown from the third floor balcony by it was black on white crime, but nobody covered that. By the black Nigerian or whatever he was, that had already been banned from the Mall of America. But just a few months ago, and he even admitted, he was sentenced this week, even admitted that he went to the mall to kill somebody. There's no denying it. He was sentenced this week to 20 years in prison. But the little boy is doing better. He's recuperating. He all but died. And the family are giving credit to God. They're thanking, they're putting out thanks for the prayers. They're acknowledging, and they used the words of Joseph. When Joseph was made himself known to his brothers toward the end of that story, where he said, "You know, you meant this for evil, but God has used it for good." And in a way that is the right, I think it is the right attitude, the Christian attitude to have. But I was reading the quotes that the family and the father that this young boy had put out. And you could sense I don't even know how to describe it, but just the turmoil, I guess, that he was feeling. And that, you know, one of the quotes was, he said, "My God commands me to forgive." He said, and in the same sentence, he said, "But I hope you get the maximum punishment allowed, you know, to this filthy beast that tried to kill his son." And, it really highlighted the blessing that we have had, those on this ministry that have been under Pastor King's teaching, to understand scriptures and Psalms where David says, "Do I not hate thee? I hate thee that, you know, those that hate God, I hate with the utmost hate." And that, yes, we can forgive, but, you know, David did not forgive Goliath. Those at the brook, Kitron, is that what it is? If you read about Psalms 83, when the Baal priests were destroyed, they were not forgiven for the filth. They were just wiped out and taken out. And that is the role of a Christian government. It's not the role of individuals, but it is the role, and that is the laws that are to be set up. And it is the role of government to enforce those laws. They try their best to do that. They just have the wrong set of laws. And we've been told by those who've been in the prison that at times there seems to be more of God's law written on the heart of prisoners than the heart of many out here.
Well, I think some of that justice in the I think you kind of cut out there, Richard, a little bit. But if I understood right, and the other thing about some of those prisoners is, and we mistakenly identify these people that are incarcerated all the time as all of them being true criminals, and some of them are just, we have a lot of political prisoners or prisoners of conscience in this land, and I'm not saying they're all that way, I'm just saying there is that goes on, and I think that, we see some of that happens, and I think that the forgiveness issue is, I think that's why God says in the Bible, it talks about being careful whose sins we forgive, because it can be on us. And I think sometimes when we forgive some of these filthy, murdering tares that we unleash upon, if we don't seek justice as well, that we unleash upon the people of the land an evil influence and one who will continue to do that. I mean, to do those works of iniquity, those sins against the Father. And, God wants to think carefully. And I'm not saying that forgiveness isn't a good thing. But when we see some of those things,
absolutely, it has to be taken in context with the rest of the Bible. You know, there are some that, you know, there are creatures of instinct created to be destroyed. That's all there is to it. There are those. God says He would leave some of the enemy in to teach us war, and so we have to and. I guess that's what I was meaning by what a blessing to have come under Pastor Peter's teachings and to be able to see that and to rectify that we have to take all the scripture, not just forgive, roll over, let the saints and the enemy roll over you. No. No. You know, the forgiveness is for the brethren. It is for the brethren. When, who was it? Peter talking with Christ. You know, how many times, I'm going to forgive this guy seven times. And Jesus said, I didn't say seven times, but seven times 70. That's the brother. That's us. You know, we forgive one another. We forgive our neighbors that are brethren, that understand, that aren't out to steal, kill, and destroy, you know, that we might have a misunderstanding with or something like that. We forgive them. And maybe I need to grow as a Christian, but somebody come and pick your little 3-year-old boy up and throw him off a third-story balcony. I have something for that man, but it's not forgiveness. You know, maybe you need to pray for me. I don't know. But I it's hard to imagine that I would have forgiveness for somebody like that.
I agree.
And I don't see that, and it's not a boast, it's not a brag, it's just a, you know, we like you said, Tim, our people have to wake up. They have to be awakened. And we see it a little bit here and a little bit there, and I think that as we can share these and, you know, the circumstances of the day and these teachings that we've had from our pastor, as we share them with more of those that are coming out of Babylon, to let them see, you know, to let them know that, listen, you can hate that son of a bitch that tried to kill your boy. You can hate him like David hated Goliath.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah. You can be angry and not. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely you can. And that is lost in today's world. It just is. Everybody think, oh, you just got to be a rollover and a pushover and accept sin. These people want to dress up. I know that Denver Pride deal is going on this weekend. I saw some blurbs on that. And what a bunch of filth. I wouldn't be surprised if Denver just imploded. You know, they are following California as hard as they can. And they push and promote, oh, well, if you're Christian, you just have to accept this. God made them the way they are, and you just have to accept it. And, you know, that's, like you mentioned earlier, Tim, of them just pushing and promoting and cramming their sin down your throat, wanting it to be accepted, pushing and promoting it, knowing that it goes against the laws of God and against the laws of nature itself. But they don't care. They don't care. They have a depraved mind. And they want it to be. They want the filth and destruction. They want to be God that determines right and wrong. But what are they going to do at the end of it? What are they going to do at the end of it?
Well, we talked about suicide. That's what they're doing. They're committing suicide. It's a little longer way around the track,
yep.
But it's coming. I mean, like that old Johnny Cash song about running on for a long time. He may let that... sooner or later, you know, they're going to be cut down.
That's right.
And you can't sin and get by. I mean, it will.
Amen.
It will catch up with you.
Amen.
And I think that's the other reason that Israel is called out of it, is we have a lot of people who mistake a contrite heart with just forgiving everyone for everything. And when God rains down his wrath upon those workers of iniquity and those filthy, hard-hearted people that are doing that, if you haven't, and come out of them, I don't think that necessarily means that you have to run off to some retreat area in the Northwest, or that you have to. What it does mean, though, is if you want your home sheltered from those things, if you don't want to be part of a collateral damage, then you, at the very least, you better be condemning it before God, you know. But we are commanded to stand before men and profess Christ. And I don't know how you can do that without, I don't care whether you've got a peach box, a soap box, or whether you just got a group of friends you talk to at coffee. When you stand up and you profess Christ and you call a spade, and you say, God condemns that, and so do I. that's the beginning of wisdom, you know. That's the coming out of that thing. And if you want to be separated from the destruction to come, why, you better get on your peach box or your coffee chair or whatever and confess Christ, because that's a confessing of Christ. Where do you get that from? Well, that's what Christ says. That's what my Bible says. It says that if a man lays with a man, that's wrong. You know, it says that.
Amen.
It says that if you murder, you're to be put to death. It says that if you, they've arrested over 1,600 child traffickers in the last few months here, and they're continuing, and that's just blowing up, and we've known it was there, and that's wrong. You don't do those sort of things. Christ, God has a special place in hell, I think, for those people. That's what he says. He says, if you offend one of these children, you know, it's better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be cast into the deepest sea. That's better than what you're going to get. You know, we see these things. You want to be, it's time to stand up and put that on there. And, I think that's why I like to see what Jack's doing over there at Masterpiece Cake Shop. He's saying, "Now I don't want any part of that. I'm no colors. No, I'm not doing it. We're not participating in your sin because we don't want to be part of that." And,
And I think they realize that that's judgment. That's judgment upon them, and they don't want anything to do with it. You know, the Bible is true. It's very clear. The wages of sin is death. And then you can take, well, what is sin? Well, it's not just what God is. It's displeasing God. 1 John 3:4. Sin is transgression of the law. And it's just still that way. I mean, that's New Testament. You know, that's New Testament. And yes, God came to save the lost. There's plenty of lost that are out there still, and we are saved by grace. You know, people will point to David and say, well, David was a murderer, David was an adulterer, and he wasn't killed. That's because he repented. He didn't continue in it. He didn't go to work day after day as an abortion doctor and kill and kill and kill. And he didn't, push and promote these illegal aliens to come into our land and to invade and to kill and to get drunk and to kill people in accidents and to rape and pillage and then just to turn them loose. He didn't push and promote that. He fell, he sinned, he paid the penalty, and he repented. And that's what so many people lose today, is that repentance. And yes, God says he doesn't even want the wicked to die, but they would come to repentance.
Absolutely.
They would come to repentance, and that's what's needed. And if they don't come to repentance, then the wages of sin is death. And those that die in their sin, you know, the governor of Colorado, repent, Governor Polis, repent. You're living a life, a death style. You are mocking God and leaders especially. You are walking a thin and fragile line, Governor Polis, and any other homosexual, any other liar, any other adulterer, any other that break these, you walk a thin line, and your very soul is in danger. Repent while you can. And that's the message of the gospel. It is. And they need to repent.
Well, we know that God saves those who he'll save. And we know that.
That's right.
I always likened that to, one of the ones that I found uniquely interesting as an example that the Bible uses was Paul. Here was a guy who ran around and killed Christians with vigor. I mean, he said, I was chief among the ones that, you know, did these things. And under God's law, Paul had a death sentence on his head. I mean, he had to think of all the people. And basically, he was granted miraculous and divine intervention. And it wasn't that, and he recognized that if you read his writings, you know, when I was younger, I can remember having some issues with Paul's writings. But as I've grown older and more, hopefully more, you know, grown in the biblical word, I realized I've come to really enjoy Paul's things. Paul knew he was under a death sentence, and he said that I'm dead to the flesh. I should be dead, but God set that back, and he gave me this dispensation. And he had opportunities to probably walk away, and he might have went and lived and hid some corner of the world and lived out the rest of his life. But he said, for me to die is gain. And I've already done these crimes, and I've already committed those things, and for me to die is gain. You know, in other words, he knew that that's the way it was. He espoused and understood God's law, but he also was appreciative of the fact that God gave him an opportunity to gain position in the heavenly kingdom by resetting that clock, or, you know, allowing that to go on. And I see a man who fervently worked out his salvation before the Lord. Strove to do that.
That's still available. That's still available for those that repent, for those that will admit that they were wrong, maybe admit they didn't understand everything, maybe admit they don't have all the answers, and return and acknowledge God in his ways, which are higher than ours. That's still available today. And that's one of the reasons that we continue on, is to let people know that, to continue to spread this message in things like this right here, in the Wednesday night prayer meeting, in the live radio broadcast, in the church service that's coming up tomorrow. Folks, we invite you to come join us. 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Eastern, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. At scripturesforamerica.org, you can click on the live video stream and join us there. And hear some biblical truths. Get a little review of the news. Get a little, not a little, but a lot of prophecy. The timeless pulpit truths that are being replayed. I get so many positive comments about that. Jason, when you play those, that it's, you know, the emails and the calls that say, you know, the pastor was right up there, or, you know, when Pastor Jones talked about that, or Colonel Moore, or Pastor Peters, it was like they were seeing into the future. And that's exactly what it was. You know, our pastor was a seer, and he did his best to warn us, and to let us know. And then the choice is on us. The choice is on us. So, and the choice is on you. If you want to join us tomorrow, you can do that. You can not forsake the assembly. You can join in for fellowship and Bible teaching if you want to. If you want to. You have that free will. And we hope that you do.
Yeah, and we are just about out of time. Does anybody have any closing thoughts?
Every day is a gift from our good Lord, and it's another opportunity to serve. That's, thank you for letting me be here, Lord, to do my job.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I would just say, you know, Remnant, look for opportunities to do, just like Tim said, to serve. Look for opportunities to share the gospel. Take the talents that you've been given, the blessings you've been given, and invest those talents in others. Share those talents with others. Share the good news gospel that you've been given. Share that with others. Whether it is, and Tim said earlier, whether it's over coffee or a soapbox or whatever it is that you have. Share that with others. Bear good fruit to the glory and the kingdom of Christ.
Amen. Well, thanks, folks, for joining us. Hope you join us tomorrow.
I'd always considered myself a law-abiding citizen, but it's starting to get a little tight around here. Don't even get me started on the TSA. Then I ordered the Authority Package from Scriptures for America. The Authority Package includes the booklet, Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, as well as six messages that talk about what proper authority is and when authorities overstep their bounds. To order the Authority Package, send $40 for DVDs, $20 for CDs, or $50 for both to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, or go to scripturesforamerica.org.
In the story of Gideon, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. God punished Israel by enslaving them to the Midianites, who oppressed them greatly by taking their crops and settling on their land. That kind of thing only happened in the Bible, right? Wrong. In America's Perils, a repeat of the Gideon story, Pastor Peter J. Peters reveals what happened to Israel of old is happening to America today. America's Perils explains how America is being oppressed through economic hardship, excessive taxation, and unchecked immigration. More importantly, this pamphlet explains what America did to displease the Lord and the solution to America's current woes. Order America's Perils by sending $1 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535, or order online at scripturesforamerica.org.
Every man has a seed that's sleeping deep inside his soul. It's a gift to give to others that's more precious than his gold. To a mother, it's her babies sleeping safe inside her sight. To a poor boy, it's a blanket on a cold and wintry night. Heart to heart, we can make it, we can fake it if it's real. Heart to heart, we can make it just by saying what we feel. Share our trouble, we can love each other double. Heart to heart, we can make it if we try.
We can sell our souls for money, we can sell them for a song.
But when it's time to leave them, they'll still be just as gone. We can surround ourselves with heroes, be reflections in their light. But deep inside ourselves, you see, there'd still be darkest night. Heart to heart, we can make it. We can fake it if it's real. Heart to heart, we can make it just by saying what we feel. We can learn to share our troubles. We can love each other double. Heart to heart, we can make it if we try.
You're a stronger man than I am. If you can be unkind
to those who will befriend you for your money and your time. As for me, I need the magic of a star-encrusted light and some loving conversation by a crackling firelight. Heart to heart, we can make it. We can't break it if it's real. Heart to heart. Heart to heart, we can make it just by saying what we feel. We can learn to share our trouble. We can love each other double. Heart to heart, we can make it.